So I was debating with myself about doing a couple different kinds of videos, because my last video was more of a butthurt video aimed at both Cardinal Virtues and Coughlin, and while I still have disagreements with both of them, I don't think I'm going to be arguing with them anytime soon, at least not any further than I already did. So, in order to give my subscribers something that I think they might actually want to hear, might actually want to listen and watch, I've decided to address something that I've been going about doing recently, which is arguing with a solipsist. Arguing with a solipsist is quite possibly the most infuriating thing that you might ever encounter. A solipsist is, by definition, somebody who feels that there is no justifiable reason to presuppose anything outside of just your mind existing. Not your brain, your mind, your whatever you want to call the mind, whatever you think the mind is. Now, the solipsist that I've been debating has a strange definition of what an external world means. When he asked me to define an external world, I said a world that exists independent of my mind. And he said that's not what an external world means, which kind of confused me. So I asked him what his definition of an external world was, and he said that an external world is something that is beyond our perception, and that makes no sense. It literally doesn't make any sense to define the external world in a way that is beyond anything that we can possibly see or experience or anything like that. It doesn't make any sense. All it does is take the vague proposition of solipsism that nothing exists beyond our mind's perception of what things are, and presupposes that an external reality, which we say is unjustifiable, is exactly what we can't do that with. There are many different responses you can give to this. For instance, an external reality doesn't have to necessarily be beyond perception. It simply has to be something that encompasses our perception. Our perception can be a part of an external reality, but not defining the external reality, which is why the external reality is independent of our mind. And if you want to give justifications as to believing in this external reality, all you have to do is look at some basic observations. For one, the control response. The control response is everything that I perceive happens in a very external reality type way. In essence, if I hit this lighter the way I do, and it gives me a flame, why is it that I can't just make the lighter light up just because I want it to? If it's just my mind, then why can't I just force things to happen? Why is my will completely ineffective other than what I am physically capable of doing, which would only be contingent within a physical external reality and not a reality that's solely contingent upon my mind's existence? This argument, I don't know who put forth all of these arguments. It's been a while since I researched this, but I'll go ahead and put a few links down below for some reading material that anybody who's actually interested in the subject. That's just one possible response you can give to them. The fact that, well, that's actually a couple responses you can give to them. The fact that an external reality could encompass your mind, therefore not be beyond perception, as well as the control problem. Now, a response they might give to the control problem is, why do you presuppose that if things are simply your perceptions that you should have any ability to control it whatsoever? And the thing is, if I don't presuppose that, then I am also necessarily presupposing something else. I'm presupposing that there is a part of my perceptions that I have no control over. There's a part of my perceptions that I cannot interact with. And for some strange reason, I don't know that it's there, and I can't interact with it in any way. So why would I believe that that exists? Necessarily, this part of my mind is beyond my perception, which the solipsist says nothing beyond your perception exists. So why would I believe in that? Why would I presuppose that particular part of the mind? Now, the only possible reason the solipsist can possibly give to presuppose that part of the mind is simply because they want to be a solipsist. That's all you can give. Another possible argument you can give is the presupposition of all things being a result of your own perception. Think about the most beautiful piece of art you've ever seen. Think about the most beautiful piece of music that you've ever listened to. Now think about the ugliest piece of art you've ever seen, and the worst music you've ever listened to. Think about the most beautiful person you've ever seen. Think about the most ugly person you've ever seen. All of these things, through the solipsistic view, are simply products of the mind. Why? And not only that, but to presuppose that kind of creativity is unrealistic. Now, the particular solipsist that I've been referencing these days is called Wittgensteinism, which is funny because Wittgenstein actually rejects solipsism. And anybody who's read his book On Certainty, which is his last book he wrote and was actually published posthumously, would know this, because he started from an argument that went against this kind of radical skepticism, which is the here is a hand argument made by G.E. Moore. Which is basically not a real argument, but a flippant response to this kind of thing. I have a hand, and I have another hand, and these are part of an external reality. Therefore, an external reality exists. Now, any solipsist would look at that and go, that's a stupid argument. But Wittgenstein went, you know, he kind of has a point. We presuppose these things as being a part of our external reality all the time. Why should we doubt them? And the only real reason that the solipsist that I'm currently arguing with could give to doubt these kinds of presuppositions is because you should just doubt things. Because you should doubt things simply for the sake of doubting things. Which is something that Wittgenstein is against. Because Wittgenstein, in his book On Certainty, made the proposition that there are things we shouldn't doubt. That we actually should not doubt if we are to function as human beings. The external reality being one of them. Well, he didn't really mention the external reality, but there are things that if you could mention or if you could demonstrate that these things allow us to function better as human beings to presuppose, then though that's a good enough justification to presuppose them without having any doubt in them. And the external reality is one of them. Because of all the problems it gives and all the other presuppositions that it supports, that are also unjustified. So we have several responses you can possibly give to a solipsist. The idea that an external reality is in no way incompatible with our perceptions, that we can perceive an external reality. For one, for two, the control argument. To which the only response that can be given is a rather silly response that can only be the result of somebody desiring to remain a solipsist, not out of any true, honest skepticism. There is also the here's a hand argument, which isn't really an argument per se, but it points out that we make presuppositions that we have no justification to doubt in the first place, and from Wittgenstein we can also make the proposition that these things are a result of us being able to function better as human beings. Now, during my argument with this guy, he told me that there is valid reason to simply doubt things for the sake of doubting them, because doubting is good. He said that you should just doubt things for the sake of doubting them, and clearly I am not up for this task. No, I am not up to the task of doubting something for no reason. And if your only reason is for the sake of doubting, then you're presupposing that doubting is necessary. And I'm asking you to give me a reason why doubting is necessary. So your reason for doubting being necessary is that doubting is necessary. Come on now. Let's see, some other things that you could possibly say. Well, I think those are the main things that you could possibly say to a solipsist. If you have any other questions, any other things that are kind of stumping you with this whole solipsism thing, please feel free to comment below, send me a PM, make a video response if you think that I'm actually wrong on any of these points. Please, go ahead. I'm perfectly willing to accept all of that. So, Yeah, there you go. A 10-minute video about why solipsism is silly. You're welcome.